Hello, America, and welcome to American Truth in Reality. I'm your host, Richard TNT, accompanied by my guest host, Mr. Bob Brown. And what a week in the news what has been this week, Bob. We had a popular liberal.
I knew you'd start here.
Well, how can you not? I mean, if we haven't gotten enough of the Anthony Weiner news.
Go ahead.
Well, one of my favorite headlines one of the comedians uses is that Nancy Pelosi wants Weiner out. I didn't know what to make of that. But Weiner, Mr. Anthony Weiner, former U.S. House of Representative from Queens and I think parts of the Bronx, New York, resigned this week.
Queens, Brooklyn, yeah.
Amid a media flurry, really. I mean, that guy really got hammered by the media. The media, mainstream and otherwise, collectively ganged up and rained all over him, huh?
Gobbled him up.
Yeah. Well, and it's unfortunate. You know, it's really a sad story, is what it is. But it's a telling story, I think, because here you have a congressman that perpetuated himself as one thing and then looked right in the camera and lied directly to his wife, his constituents, his family, his friends, all of his supporters. And then when it was inevitable that the truth would come out, and after all, this program is American Truth and Reality, Mr. Weiner's reality hit him. And I think he had plans to weather the storm. And I think the American media had other plans. What do you think?
56% of his constituents wanted him to stay a week ago. 56%. I thought he would. I was sure he would fight it. But
I thought he would fight it, too. That actually brings me to our prediction from last week.
And I predicted he would be acquitted. So I was 180 degrees off.
Well,
and where were you on your prediction?
Well, on our radio program last week, we made a prediction on this very topic. And Don, I don't know that you have the information. Don is my radio producer for the clip. You may or may not have that ready. If you do at any time, let us know. We'll play it and we can come back to it. But I predicted within a week of last Saturday, June 11th, Anthony Weiner would resign. And what did you predict? I can't quite recall.
I predicted he would fight it and win.
Okay, so I'm one for zero on the official prediction scale, right? I got some other predictions today too that we're gonna get to, and
okay.
I think we're gonna expect some callers today. The number always is 1-888-815-9756. If you'd like to share your comments, your thoughts, your vision for our country, where we are, where we're headed, we have a program that is really centered around faith, politics, and the impact those things have on our day-to-day life or as on our country. And politics is something that is heating up right now. I mean, I don't know. If you look at the field right now of the Republican candidates versus President Obama running for a second term, you got to think Romney's the lead candidate. Right now I'm seeing a Romney-Pawlenty ticket, but now there's rumors that the governor, Rick Perry, down in Texas, is going to run. I don't know. I don't know much about him.
Doesn't matter. You know where I stand. My prediction, no matter who runs against him, Obama's going to have a second term.
My prediction.
What's today's date? June what? You heard it first here. Let's play that
June 18th.
Let's play that clip back in a year.
June 18th at approximately 1:12 Central Time.
Get used to it. Four more years of Obama.
I'm not convinced of it. I'll tell you why.
Five and a half, really.
I'm not convinced Obama's a shoo-in for re-election. He's got a record to run on now. My prediction is he will be defeated if the economy is in its current state or worse, and the American people's confidence in his leadership in the economy on election day of 2012. So whatever election day is, first week in November, The American people will render their verdict on him where the economy is.
And how do you measure the economy? How do you measure the state of the economy?
Unemployment.
Percent?
Unemployment.
As a number? Go.
Corporate confidence.
As a what, percent or number? How do you?
Whether the corporations in this country are spending the trillions of dollars they're sitting on.
Oh, you mean donations?
No, I'm talking about the corporations that have the wealth in this country. If they decide to begin spending it and hiring people and investing in their businesses okay. versus pulling back because they're being attacked by an administration that is clearly hostile.
Would you rather see
to corporate America?
As
an and by the way, corporate America being the corporations that employ people. So that they have salaries and opportunity to make money. Sure, they work for the company, but the company gives them the opportunity. They have salaries, and they pay taxes, and they also support their families, and they also buy things. And consumer confidence is going to be the other.
How do you measure that?
Well, I mean, you know you're in a poor economy like we are now if people aren't spending what typically they've – the patterns they've spent in. Relative to a robust economy. And I think we have an administration that just simply went after the corporations and villainized the corporations and are attempting what I would consider to be out-and-out class warfare. I mean, I don't know why everybody wants to make the corporations in this country the bad guy. They're the good guy. And small businesses.
What would you rather see?
But we have an administration that overregulates, obsessively regulates, and has not created an environment where consumer confidence is high in this economy. And if this is where we're at come Election Day 2012, I don't see how candidate Barack Obama wins a second term. I mean, there's not really anything else that he brings to the table. And this country, as you know, has changed course on many a one-termers, including George Bush Sr. and Gerald Ford, and, you know, going all the way back. This country votes the economy. I really believe that.
Well,
for the most part, they vote the economy.
My measurement of the economy is a gallon of gas and a box of cornflakes. That's how I look at it, period. I'm Joe Lunchbox. If a gallon of gas is $3.20 and cornflakes is $3.20 a box, family size, and unemployment is, I give him 7%, he'll get in. If gas is 360, 370, and cornflakes is still at 489, and unemployment is 5%, he ain't getting in. I mean, sorry, he ain't getting in. Yeah.
So let me get this straight. Your prediction is, and you're basing that on the price of cornflakes?
Cornflakes. Cornflakes equals raw materials. Transportation,
you know, that may not
gas,
be such a bad idea.
Corn.
The price of cornflakes will determine
commodities.
President Obama's fate. You've heard it here first.
Price of food
on American
is going,
Truth and Reality. I love it.
The price of food is going through the roof.
Yeah, I know.
It's hurting.
It is a concern.
It's hurting. And gas has been high coming down, but could it go up? I don't know how to measure the economy except by what I spend. If I get less for what I used to get more for my dollar, the economy's bad and it's getting bad.
Well, and I think you're right on, because you look at it from that perspective. Now multiply Bob Brown by 300 million people in this country.
Yeah.
And you have a condition where people aren't investing and spending because they're waiting. They're waiting for leadership to unleash the power of this. The most powerful nation and economy on earth, and instead we're just racking up debt and extending our credit line to the World Bank or whoever.
I don't want to see the American corporations suddenly spending a lot of money to hire people at the expense of the stock price. I'm sorry, I still got something in the 401k IRA, and I need the stock prices to stay up. I need that cash to stay there. If they start spending it to hire people to appease Obama's unemployment number, I'm not going to be happy, because the price of the stock is going to go down and the value of my IRA and future investments going down at the expense of Obama's unemployment percent. That's not going to make me happy.
And that's widespread. I mean,
the corporations ain't going to do that.
Well, I'm talking about the corporations you know, you're an entrepreneur, businessman, been in your own business for a while. How about the people that are, you know, whether you're white collar or blue collar, doesn't make any difference. They get a paycheck, and they get it from the corporation that employs them to do a job. They do the job, and they get a benefit to take care of their financial responsibilities, their families, or themselves, or whatever. Well, you know, unemployment being at record highs is a clear and direct indication of state of economy. When unemployment is low, you know, that's a direct measurement of when we have a robust economy. You know, if the economy right now is at 3 or 4%, or if it's down by 5%, and Obama can claim,
hey, you mean unemployment.
Yeah, next year at this time, or on election day 2012, he can claim that, you know, unemployment, I took it from 9% it's down to 5%.
Yeah, that's what he's going to do. He's going to strong arm corporations to hire, to drive down the unemployment number come election time. Now, if it's 5% unemployment, let me ask you this question. If it's 5% unemployment, and gas, price of a gallon of gas is down to $3.50, how's he doing?
He increases his chances substantially.
That's what's going to happen. And he'll get reelected.
But here's the other measurement I think the American people are going to use. And again, the American people, they're unpredictable. You know, the Republicans vote with Republicans, Democrats vote with Democrats. Then you have the swing voters, you know, the middle of the roaders that vote what they think is best for the country or the best candidate or what have you. And they swing the elections. And they're a very unpredictable group. They'll vote for a Democrat in the House, a Republican in the Senate, President, you know, Democrat, Republican, whoever they think the better candidate is. But if the conditions are worse, then candidate Obama promised when he took office and became president in Election Day 2012, you know, that's his record. And, you know, he was the first guy within, I'm going to say, 15 days or 30 days of his new presidency said that I'm going to be a one-term president if we don't turn this economy around. And then what did he do? He turned around and obsessed and focused on health care reform.
He mugged me.
Yeah. And passed it on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve when we're all, you know, opening presents and greeting Santa Claus on the rooftops.
I'm wrapping presents. He's picking my pocket.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I'm going to go back to Anthony Weiner for just a moment because we're on predictions. And predictions is a fun thing to do. You know, you kind of see where things are. You can kind of forecast. Where they're going to be. Now, I don't claim to be psychic. I do believe that some people are gifted by the good Lord God above with foresight and the ability to see things and be clairvoyant and perceptive and so forth. Sometimes I think it's just common sense or seeing where things are and projecting where things could be. And we're back to our prediction of last week where we have a clip that I'm going to play. Now, the clip that you're going to hear is from last Saturday, about this time, June 11th, exactly 7 days ago. And my producer, Don, when you're ready, go ahead and play the clip. This is our American Truth and Reality from last Saturday, June 11th, at about this time. One world currency, and I don't know of any American that would want one world currency. But at that point, if the rest of the nations of the world conclude that the United States dollar isn't worth anything, Then what? You have one. Then they want their own currency.
I feel like I'm at the window of the casino, and the gamblers come to me and say, "Come on, just bump my credit $200 more. Bump it, please, please, please." What history do you have that you're gonna that this $200 that I'm gonna give you is gonna result in less debt from you, less gambling from you? You're telling me it will. What if it doesn't? Do I get my $200 back? No. So I say, don't increase the debt limit. Don't give people more higher credit limits on their cards when they have demonstrated no ability to pay it back.
At what point does it stop is the question for our nation or us as individuals.
It's got to stop now.
So that plays into November of 2012 when we're choosing our next leader for the next 4 years. That plays into, does he deserve another 4 years? And I believe that question is going to be answered by the American people. Based upon the state of the economy on that day or whether they feel that we're on the right track.
Yeah.
And the American people, you know, usually get it right. I can't say we've always gotten it right. I don't think Jimmy Carter was a better pick than Gerald Ford. I'm sorry. You can't convince me of that. I absolutely believe George W. Bush was. Okay. Well, that was from last week. That wasn't actually the clip I was looking for. We're going to see if we can work on it. I'm at fault because I got some of the information to Don, our producer. So I take full responsibility for not having the right clip there. But that was what we're predicting and forecasting for the American dollar. And that is exactly what we're talking about. If the American dollar is weaker come election day in 2012, Bob, I don't see how Barack Obama as a candidate for the next 4 years. I mean, what are we doing? We're pardon me. We're hiring our leader that we think is going to lead us best based upon the candidates available for the next 4 years. Not popularity. We shouldn't be electing on, is he popular? Is he better looking? Is he, you know, not race, not any of those things that don't add up to the leadership and the awesome responsibilities of leadership in this country. And right now, the American dollar is in trouble. And that's the other reason we have high unemployment. World confidence is being lowered, not increased. It's not becoming more confident in the U.S. dollar right now. And that does open the door to the Chinese. What happens if the Chinese decide, you know what, we don't think America's good for it. We're going to dump the U.S. dollar, and we're going to go ahead and take the hit. Yeah, it's going to hurt us too, but it allows us to weaken America and make us more strong. And then other nations follow suit, and all of a sudden, a gallon of milk is no longer, or a box of cornflakes is no longer $3.50, it's $7.50. Then what? It's a very, very interesting and a very delicate time for this nation as to where we're going with this debt and the value that the American dollar brings to the world economy.
My personal view about Mr. Obama, my president, is I don't like to listen to him. I don't like to look at him. I don't like to read about him.
You don't like him very much.
I turn the channel. I'm done with him personally. I'm done with listening and following and respecting a man that mugged me. I'm done with him, but I'm just one out of 300 million.
Who do you like in the field?
Nobody. I like too many. That's the problem. There's too many people. Anybody would be better.
You like Mitt Romney?
Not as much as some of the others.
Well, you've got health care.
I want a businessman who's balanced a budget and who understands profit and loss.
The problem with Romney is he's going to have to do a better job addressing the fact that his health care plan as governor of Massachusetts became pretty much the model for the Obama health care plan. And that's going to be difficult for him to
He's not going to make it.
Navigate.
He's not going to make
I
it.
I like Pawlenty out of Minnesota. Looks like a straight arrow. Looks presidential. Smart. He's got a great track record up in Minnesota.
He'd be great.
They're trying to tie Minnesota's current financial problems with Pawlenty kicking the can down the road, so to speak. But that's very unfair. He was dealing with a Democratic-controlled legislature, as I understand, and it was their doing more than the governor.
I thought the one guy with a chance of knocking Barack off was the Donald. That's a guy who told it like it was, tells it like it is, calls it like he sees it, and ain't afraid. And he's got the money and the power and the ego to battle Barack Obama. But, boy, he was decimated. He was completely decimated by the Obama media power structure. He's gone. So,
well, I wouldn't say that he's gone. I mean, you're going to hear from Donald Trump. Believe me, Donald has a way of getting himself in the headlines. I happen to like Trump. Now, I didn't care for his language he used out in Las Vegas.
And man, that was bad.
I think right about then he decided he wasn't going to be a candidate anyway, so what the heck.
Yeah.
Pardon me, but I like Trump because I think he would carve up any of the Democrats, including President Obama, in a debate like a Thanksgiving turkey. I think he would have gone to school on some of the Republicans.
I won't even watch a debate with him. I cannot stand listening to him. That's a shame. That's un-American. I know.
Well, one thing I you're talking about President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
You'd watch Donald Trump.
Yeah, I would watch Trump and Obama, but I won't watch any. Maybe I will. I just don't like to watch Obama.
the thing about Donald Trump is he's a deal maker. And this country needs leadership that starts making deals that are in our best interests.
Yeah.
And that was his point. You know, when he used the language out in Las Vegas, he was trying to make a strong point. Now, he's from New York. People understand that. People from New York make a point in ways that maybe people from other parts of the country aren't accustomed to. But his point was, is we're getting hosed in our trade agreements with China and Asia and everybody. And he's basically saying we need to leverage the power of the United States and redo these deals because these are all bad deals. And that's why we're in the position that we're in. And, you know, that's he's a businessman. He's successful. He understands business. He understands economic structure and policy and the impact that that policy has on our future. And I give more weight to issues on the economy to Donald Trump, maybe not on social issues. You know, he's waffled on abortion, which he's now come out and clearly said he's pro-life, but, you know, he's waffled on it years ago. He's a little bit fair-weathered on the key social issues. But when it comes to economic policy and the direction this country needs to go, I really think that Trump should be heard from.
What do you think of Price?
And it's disappointing that he's not going to be in the race.
What do you think of Price from Texas?
Don't know much about him. You know, I think, you know,
Christie from Jersey.
Too early for him, way too early.
Yeah,
probably solid, but you know he's still getting used to being governor. He's still learning not to take the helicopter to his son's high school football game.
Palin,
I like Sarah Palin a lot.
Think she'd knock him off?
I think. Well, are you asking me? Do you think Palin can win the presidency? No,
yeah.
I don't. Yeah. Could she win the vice presidency? Yes, I think she could. Could she serve as a Secretary of State? A Secretary of Commerce, a Secretary of the Interior, something. Yeah, certainly. I don't think she's going to win the presidency. But I like her in the debates. I like her in the race. I think part of the great part of our process and our electoral process is the candidates make each other better and force them to take certain positions that they might not have. So the dynamics of the exchanges between the candidates in the primaries I find to be fascinating and helpful because, you know, after all, it flushes out for the American voter and the American people, who are we voting for? Who are they? You know, and I don't think we did a good job. And this is where I think the mass media helped Obama get elected.
We got tricked.
We did not ferret out the true Barack Obama and have all the details and facts that we have now during that election. And that's an opening for really the wrong guy to become president. Now, you can argue whether you think Obama was the wrong guy against John McCain. I like McCain. I think McCain would have been a better president. But at the same time, there could have been some destiny there. I think America's proud of itself for electing the first African-American president, and that's great, and I'm glad that we did in that respect.
Did we want to prove to ourselves we weren't racist?
As a nation, we could have been, and we're not. I don't think we are. I think there's racist amongst us in the country, but I don't think my country, the United States of America, the greatest place on earth, is a racist country collectively, and they proved that by electing Barack Obama. But that, you know, that novelty is, okay, we did that, okay? But that doesn't mean he's our guy for the next 4 years, and he's the guy to lead us, you know, lead us on from here. We are taking calls, if you'd like to call in, 1-888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. Make a comment, ask a question. I want to move on to things.
I did like Netanyahu's spanking of Mr. Obama.
Oh my goodness!
Weeks ago, I loved that.
You got somebody's head had to
spanked him in public.
Somebody's head had to roll at the White House over whoever wrote Obama's speech that he's reading from the teleprompter. Somebody had to miss something there.
Yeah, and now what's going on? They're trying to work it. I don't like what Mr. Obama is. I don't like what he's doing to our friends Israel. I don't like it.
Well,
he's trying to.
Here's the thing.
Roll back their borders.
Here's the thing, Bob. Why would the American people, who have had this cloud of suspicion over President Obama, why would they think that he's anything other than a Muslim if his positioning and strong arming of Israel isn't considered almost hostile. And for the life of me, I don't know why any country would want to take on Israel. I mean, whether you believe or you don't believe that, I happen to believe the Jewish people are God's chosen people. It's in Scripture. It's been made clear. Now, you could choose not to believe that, but if you just look at history, every nation that's gone up against Israel and the nation of Israel has been defeated and defeated badly. And that's why it's so important that Israel remains our friend and the best friend of America in a very hostile and terrible part of the world. They're in the Muslim world central. And they're surrounded by Islamists and extremists that want to eliminate them altogether. My point is this does not lower suspicions that President Obama is a Christian or isn't a Christian. He's actually a Muslim. It raises them, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's sad. And I don't have much spiritual background on Muslims. I love to talk to one. I'd love for one to call in and understand more about what they in fact do believe. I would love that. But Mr. Obama has demonstrated to me that he's a Muslim. So I'm very opposed, very anti Mr. Obama, and I don't want to drill in. I don't want to drill down into it because I don't have any confidence in what he's saying. I don't have any confidence in his decisions. He is destructive for this country, and he has proven to be destructive. He's destroying the country.
Give me some ideas as to in what way.
Well, he's when have we been in this big, had this much debt? In 3 years, he's equaled the spending of how many presidents before him in 3 years.
Well, what bothers me is that,
come on,
as candidate Obama,
I don't like you coming into the White House and finding the checkbook and start and writing checks. I don't like that. Get relaxed and find out what's going on. He wrote checks to every congressman and senator to get the health care bill passed. And that's personally what I think he did, because we never found out how did they vote this so quick. There's no other reason than a simple check in return for your vote.
Wasn't there supposed to be C-SPAN in the room when these negotiations were going on with these senators? Didn't candidate Obama demand and say that he was going to implement C-SPAN so that we couldn't have all these special interests or this corruption in this under the table deal making?
I want him out.
But where's C-SPAN?
Yeah, where are they now?
Yeah,
they even changed channels on my television. You get even where they are now.
You get the European soccer game on C-SPAN, or you get a lot of Anthony Weiner coverage from last week and this week. But yeah. I think what we're faced with here, Bob, is a decision as a nation as to whether we're going to hold candidate Obama accountable for the policies that he's executed as president or not. Wasn't he the guy that was talking about how runaway spending under Republican control, George W. Bush and the Republicans, while he's fighting two wars and fighting the war on terrorism, was out of control? And within his one term, he is approaching spending and ringing up our national debt four times what Bush ran up in 8 years. So in one term, Obama is approaching 3 to 4 times more debt than George W. Bush did in 8 years. And he was villainizing. You remember, Obama's campaign was all about villainizing George W. Bush. I mean, he couldn't blame Bush enough, and he still is trying to pin it on Bush. And I hope.
That's what we're going to have left, is change in your pocket. That's all you're going to have left pretty soon.
I hope that the Democrats and candidate Obama for re-election strategy this election, I hope it's blame George Bush.
Yeah, he
will be. Because the American people have had their fill of pinning it on George Bush.
It's done. He knows. He's too smart to do that.
Well, you would hope so. Got him in the office, but it's certainly not going to keep him in office. And that's why he's got his own record. And if you look at some of the things, Guantanamo Bay, signed an executive order, closed Guantanamo Bay. Guess
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
And that's not going anywhere.
How did we get the information on about where did we get, do you think we got some of it from there?
Yeah. Well,
but he wanted to shut it down. It just points to I don't like it. He wants to shut down the source of one of the sources of information that led to his capture. He tried to shut Guantanamo 2 years ago. Good thing he didn't.
Well, that's the argument, and the left is right now trying to say that no useful information relative to Bin Laden came out. Leon Panetta, the CIA director, who was the quarterback of the whole raid and the intelligence, along with the great U.S. military and the Navy SEALs and the commanders, came right out and said, we got information. And,
right.
And enhanced interrogation is helpful.
From where? From Guantanamo?
Right.
One of the guys, I forget his name. I can't think of it.
Well, and I realize that America's held to a higher standard.
Waterboarding.
Waterboarding, yeah.
I wonder what that is. Do you know what that actually is?
Yeah, they turn you upside down and pour water up your nose and makes you feel like drowning.
So it's not surfboarding?
No. No. That's what they do out in California.
Doesn't sound bad, but anyway, it worked. Yeah. I love it.
Well, it worked, but it's still not getting the credit that it's due. I mean, clearly, it was a connecting of the dots. Now, was it all from enhanced interrogation? No, but anybody in intelligence knows that it's connecting the dots. Yeah. And you get this little piece of information, and you corroborate this, and you eliminate that, and you add it. It's like a puzzle, and one piece at a time. And those pieces were critical pieces of information that led to the courier, that led to Bin Laden, that led to the raid, and to led to – but
– with a lot of help from the Pakistanis, they really helped us out.
Oh, sure. And now I read this week in the Wall Street Journal that the Pakistanis are arresting all the people – that helped the U.S.
Yeah.
gather the intelligence. I don't have any trust for that government at all.
Well,
I think we're being taken advantage of by most of those governments over there. But you know, we have strong interests over there. One, to keep America safe and be on offense, which is the policy of George W. Bush, by the way, not Barack Obama. He inherited a very good policy, and we have. Oil interests. I mean, let's face it. We have a tremendous amount in that region.
That's what I like
of interest in oil.
That's what I liked about Trump. You want military protection? We'll take a third of your drills.
Yeah,
it'll cost you a couple million barrels.
Right.
We'll send you a squadron of F-16. Give us 2 million barrels. That's the kind of stuff Trump does.
Right.
That's what I like. You need some help? By the way, we're going to send the Red Cross. But before we send any money. We're going to take over your oil wells in the northern region, and we'll rebuild in your churches, schools, roads, and schools in the meantime. But you're going to need to pay us in. We're going to start bartering,
right?
Military help, financial help for oil. It's so simple.
Well, the thing is that I think Republicans and conservatives make a mistake when we are attacked by the left, when the left says it's all about the oil, blood for oil. It's not blood for oil. It's called oil for national interests. And let's be real, and let's be truthful, okay? We have an interest in the Middle East because they've got oceans of oil underneath their ground that we need and we're dependent on. And perhaps we have oceans of oil underneath the United States of America, too, up in the Dakotas and so forth, that needs to be explored, but the policies of this government and the environmentalists run amok isn't allowing us to get to it. But the interests that we have over there relate to our everyday life. Would you like to pay $8.75 a gallon of gas because we adjust our policy and we don't protect our interests? And by the way, we protect our interests at a tremendous expense. Who do you think's footing the bill over there for Afghanistan and keeping that country in relatively good order? In Iraq, you know, Iraq is complaining. The government of Iraq came out this week and was complaining that America, the American government, asked that they start using their oil funds and resources to pay for the cost of the war and step up to the plate more. You know what? Some of their highest ranking officials said, they came back and said, we should ask America to compensate us more for all the war damage that they've done to our country. That's the thanks that we get for taking out a brutal dictator and setting 40 million people or however many Iraqis and Afghanis, you know, there's 52 million people over there, setting them free and putting them on the path to freedom and prosperity. Hmm. You owe us. It's the you owe us, you owe me something attitude. And that's where I think what you're saying is Donald Trump or any president, whoever becomes president, they've got to play hardball with these governments, even if it's the Chinese. And that's what Donald Trump is saying. Got to play hardball with these governments because they're not looking after our interests. They're looking after their own. We have to start looking after our own interests. And it just seems like we're trying to always make deals that make other countries prosperous at our expense. And then we're strapped with the debt. How about Libya? You know what those? You know what's costing us over in Libya? Something like $10 million a day. And there's really no justification other than humanitarian or so-called humanitarian for our involvements. Our involvement over there, I think it's a mistake. I think the Europeans have more interest in Libya than we do, and they should beef up their action over there if they want to take care of things in Libya. But I got to tell you this. Secretary Gates, who's leaving at the end of this month, current U.S. Defense Secretary. We've talked about him before. I like him. I think you like him too. He came out and said, basically, the European military force is pathetic and that they are really relying on us to do everything, not just the heavy lifting, but everything, and that they took, since World War II, they took advantage of America and decided to spend their money on things other than military, put that on America's plate and use it for social programs and other things. And he's right. He's right. But how long are we going to allow other governments in other places on this planet to take advantage of us?
I'll be honest with you. I've lost track of what's going on in Libya. I don't know. All I know is NATO's fighting Muammar Gaddafi, but I don't care. I really don't care. I don't care what's happening in Syria. I don't care what's happening in Libya, in Tunisia, and Yemen, and all these. I really, honestly, truly don't care. What I am concerned about, personally, thinking of doing is, it's the time is coming when I have to look out for myself. And my neighbors, and maybe start a stockpile of water, canned goods.
So you're feeling and sensing a economic catastrophe in our nation?
I'm not. I think it's wise. It's not out of fear, but it's wise to start insulating yourself for a potential Joplin, Missouri.
So you're talking about being prepared.
Yeah.
I just saw a government.
Joplin got wiped out. There ain't no food stores to go and get bananas and pineapples. And there ain't none.
You know what raises my antenna on what you're talking about?
You got to really think about where would you get food?
Well,
if in a catastrophe situation, where would you go?
What raises my antenna on what you're talking about is for the first time, and I ask myself why, you know? For the first time, and they can claim, well, it's because of, you know, the hurricane season, or it's because of what happened, tornadoes and Joplin. But the U.S. government has a ad out that says, be prepared for these kind of disasters. Go to ready.gov. I haven't gone to the website yet, but it's preparation information, how you can prepare yourself. You know, that's the first time that I can recall, maybe in a long time, maybe they've done it before and I haven't been paying attention. But why is the government now telling us go to ready.gov and, you know, they'll give you some information on how to prepare for what, food shortages, gas shortages, energy shortages? I mean, what's coming down here? It's interesting to speculate.
Well, it's wise to be safe and prepared, but it also is pointing towards another source of peace.
Well, I think, what can you do?
You're not going to get peace from the newspaper or television.
You can prepare, right? And perhaps the Lord is preparing us, and he's preparing those that are loyal followers and listeners and hear his voice. Our Lord said, you know, my
sheep. What do you think he's preparing us for?
I'm not sure, but our Lord did say that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And if they're listening to the wrong voice, then they're following the wrong good shepherd. I want to share with you, tomorrow in the Holy Roman Catholic Church, they're celebrating the Most Holy Trinity. And that's the celebration of, and the mystery, but the celebration of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit being one God, but yet three divine persons in that one God. And I wanted to read, pardon me, from the gospel for tomorrow's reading and comment on it, because it ties to exactly what we've been talking about on this program today. This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So reading from the Holy Gospel according to John, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what voice in this world are we listening to? Who are we following? Is it all about money? About the accumulation of wealth? I can't tell you how many families I see right now that are going through very difficult times, whether it's divorce or the breakup of families. And it seems like there is a decaying process in our society like at no other time. And it kind of reminds me of the biblical story of when society decays to a certain point. I ask myself, how much more is the Lord going to take of this before his truth and his justice prevail? And I think of the Noah times, and that's exactly what was going on. You had people that were leaving the morality and the compass of holiness and decaying as a society and as a people, as a world. And, of course, we had the floods. Now, the Lord promised, of course, and the symbol of the rainbow is that he will never destroy the world by flood again. But he didn't say he wouldn't do it by fire or ice or an asteroid. And the drift that we have been under appears to be having an effect on our society. And the voice that I need to tune into is the good Lord, Jesus. And how does one do that? Well, through prayer, through meditation, through reading the Gospels, and discerning what that means to you as an individual and what it means to your loved ones and those around you.
There is, I boil it down to that battle between good and evil. The battle between fear. There is a lot of fear going everywhere. It's all around. There's fear of, you name it. And fear is a weapon of evil.
Well, interesting you meant to say that, because another way to say fear is being, or severe fear, is being terrified, right? And the word terrorists, which the left wing, they don't want to use the word terrorists. They don't. They want to get rid of that word. Even the Obama administration doesn't want. They don't want to use that word terrorists anymore. They think that was a George W. Bush administration word creation, and it was around long before George W. Bush was in office. But that's exactly the tool that these Islamic extremists use in order to control their people. I mean, look what's going on in Syria. They're shooting people in the streets. Egypt's under control because the military is stable because of the partnership they have with the United States of America. All these countries that want the destruction of Israel, as we were talking about before, that are Islamic in nature, the governments are so radical that they're killing their own people. What strikes me really strangely is if you look at the left of the political spectrum in our country, you know, they're for gay rights, they're for, you know, the abortion and so forth. And in the Islamic world, if one was to come out and say they were quote unquote gay or homosexual, they would be beheaded. And under Islamic law, you can be tortured and killed. So what I find to be very peculiar and ironic is why did the Democrats and the left, liberal left in this country, always take the side of some of the Islamic teachings in Islamic rights and in giving these people a voice, when in fact they are diametrically opposed to each other in their positions on a couple of the issues I just mentioned and many others?
The government will protect us. The government will protect you.
Don't believe it. Don't believe it. You know what? You'll protect yourself. And the only way you can protect yourself, in my view,
I don't want government protecting me.
You can only protect yourself in these circumstances, in these times, with...
I shouldn't say that, actually. That's too extreme.
What's that?
That I don't want government. I do want police, fire department.
Certainly. You know, certainly, and a national defense.
And our good army soldiers and SEALs that are putting their lives... So I shouldn't say that.
I say don't believe it in terms of the Islamic governments. I mean, they're saying we're shooting our own people in order to protect them. I mean, what sense does that make?
I don't know who's on what side.
What they're trying to do is protect their power.
I can't figure out who's on what side here.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to protect their own power. But my point is that as a nation, as individuals, we have to make a choice. This whole life, our whole existence is all about choices and decisions. Do we listen to the voice of our Lord Jesus?
Now,
who is God?
Now, what is he saying? That's the question. What is he saying to you?
Well, what he's saying, starting with the Sunday's gospel, is there is no other way for your protection, elimination of fear, your eternal life. There is no other way but through me. Because I'm the Lord, your God, and I have all the power.
If anybody is hearing this station, that's the question to ask. What is he saying to you? Because the rest is interference, noise, and static. Listen in, listen up, and try and hear him.
And there's plenty of noise and static. You know, would you rather get your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding, and the expansion of your perspective from CNN, MSNBC, CNBC.
Who are those guys?
Who are the guys on those
radio stations? We were talking about him last week.
Lawrence O'Donnell?
Lawrence O'Donnell, yes. He's a good guy to get guidance.
He looks like an angry guy, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Who else? Chris Matthew? He's a good guy. Yeah, he's a good guy to get guidance from.
I mean, but you know, these are some of the people that are listened to and viewed as credible by a good number of people in this country. You know, I get my news from Fox. Like everyone on Fox is, I think, a straight arrow and tells it the way it is, and they actually report the news and they always give a dissenting viewpoint on their programs. But these, you know, starting with the Lawrence O'Donnell, that guy looks like an angry guy. I'm sorry, but you look at him and they zoom right into his head. So all you got on your TV is his talking head.
You ever notice he never blinks? You ever notice that? He never blinks.
I don't know.
I don't know how he does that. I don't know how that happens.
But I grow tired
it's a
of
biological miracle.
I grow tired of these commentators. They're not giving me the news. They're trying to condition or tell you how to think. Do you ever get that feeling?
Yeah, what was her name? Condoleezza Rice. She put him. Was it him?
Yeah, she. O'Donnell interviewed.
She did well.
Yeah, she did.
She did well putting him in his place.
But you know what was funny is the very next day, in the same setting, same office, Anderson Cooper, which I don't see eye to eye on most liberal issues. I think he's left leaning, but I think he's fair, and I think he's an excellent interviewer.
I think he's right down the middle.
Yeah, honestly. And she was very cordial with Anderson. She was informed because she knew that he wasn't just a left wing political hack. That he was actually a journalist first.
Yeah.
But you can be a left-leaning journalist. You know, most of them are.
You think he's left?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Without question. Without question. But, you know, are those the voices? But my point is, are those the – what voices do we listen to? Which ones do we allow them to lead us?
It's a cacophony of noise. The key is to we must listen to him and what he's saying to me, you. It's personal. I'm not saying he's saying the same thing to all of us. It's different for each of us. But it's important to tune out the cacophony of static and listen to what is he telling us, me. That's where I find in the end is my peace comes from, to be with him and try and discern what it is his will for me and my life today. What he wants me to do today. Today. I don't worry about tomorrow. One day, today. That's it.
That's all you can do, and that's what he tells us to live one day at a time, for today has trouble of its own. Quickly, we're going to do predictions. I've got one prediction I want to say. Today is the 18th of June, Saturday. It's just about 2 o'clock Central Time. We're down to our last 15 seconds or so.
Yeah.
Of maybe 30 seconds or so of programming for today's show. I predict, and we do cover some sports too, or whatever's, you know, out there in terms of going on in the world. We may have listeners that are fans of the NFL. Maybe you're not a fan of the NFL, but you hear about it in the news and the back and forth between the owners and the players and the lockout and the, you know, potential strike, all that stuff. So, I predict within the next 30 days.
I want you to go out on a limb here now. Come on.
Well, next 30 days or so. So I'll call it July 26th.
All right.
Within the next 30 days or so, or around before July 26th, we'll say, that a deal will be done. Training camps will be open and started. I don't know if there'll be any interruption to the regular season. They might abbreviate the preseason because that's going to be part of the deal anyway and abbreviate the preseason.
You talking about the NFL lockout being over?
Right. They're going to do a deal, and the players and the owners will come together and an agreement in
All right.
I'm going to say by July 26th. What do you think?
July 26th. Okay. Well, I'm 0-1, so I gotta be very conservative. I'm going to predict that in the next 24 hours, Father's Day will arrive. I need to get to 500.
Boy,
I'm 0-1.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know for sure. I don't really know. Like I said, I worry about today. Today, tomorrow is 10,000 years away. So let's see what happens.
I'm sorry, Bob, but that does not count as a winning score to predict the obvious. Well, that pretty much wraps us up for today. Enjoyed the talk with my friend and co-host, Mr. Bob Brown. I'm Richard TNT, and for American Truth and Reality, we thank you for listening. Good luck, America. God bless, and stay alert. Take care.